Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sitting out here in the church field, surrounded by trees, the nice green grass under our feet, a lot greener than it was a few weeks ago, it seems like an ideal setting for our gospel reading today, don't you think? After all, here we are, out in nature, hearing Jesus talk about nature. And this is something that Jesus does quite a bit, using agricultural imagery or agricultural parables to describe God's kingdom and work. The parable of the sower, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the faithless tenants of a vineyard, the parable of the growing seed. And then here we have the parable of the wheat and the weeds. This isn't one that we talk about nearly as much as those others. It only appears in Matthew's gospel, after all, not in any of the other gospels. So I think it would be valuable for us today to go through the parable together and see what Jesus has to teach about his kingdom, not just then, but also for us here today. Now, the setup for this parable comes in verses 24 through 26, where he says, "He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also.'" Now imagine being in the position of this farmer. You work hard for days, weeks, arguably months, to remove all of the weeds, all of the stones, sow good seeds in your field, only for all of that hard work to go for naught and be undone as someone comes along and throws a bunch of weeds in among your carefully planted wheat. Imagine how much frustration you would have in that position. I don't do nearly as much weeding, and yet I'm still frustrated when I see weeds in among the flowers. And from verse 26, it sounds like the farmer didn't actually realize what was happening until the seeds had started to bear fruits and he saw the difference between the wheat plants and the weed plants. I asked my dad one time what the difference is between a flower and a weed, and he said that if it's really easy to pull up, that means it's a flower. But all of that hard work seemingly having gone to waste. The weeds are here and they can choke out the good seed. They will choke out the good seed and prevent it from getting the nutrients that it needs. As the plants grow up together, the weeds and the wheat, the good seed could end up getting lost among the weeds, literally. So what is this farmer to do? Well, not every parable is interpreted for us by Jesus, but fortunately, this is one where we don't have to ponder or think or go searching for an explanation. Jesus' disciples come to him and ask him exactly what this parable means, and so he interprets it for us in the second half of our reading, verses 36 to 43. The explanation for this first part we find in verses 37 through 39a, that's the first half of the verse, where Jesus gives a specific interpretation for almost every aspect of the parable. He left the crowds and went into the house. The disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil." Now, the sower is the Son of Man, which means Jesus himself, using a term or a title for the Messiah, which first appears in Daniel, where he says that one like the Son of Man will come down. And so Jesus is the one who comes down, who does the sowing, who causes all the growth for these seeds. So then the field is the world where we are right now. And in other words, this parable is talking about our life in this world. We live within the world, surrounded by and perhaps even being choked out by thorns and weeds, growing up among and with those who are not the sons of God, or the sons of the kingdom, which is what the good seed is, the sons of the kingdom, meaning believers in Jesus Christ. And according to Jesus, he plants us here for a very specific purpose so that we can bear fruit for him. But of course, we are surrounded by these weeds. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, or false believers and unbelievers. Those who claim to be Christian but are not, or those who make no bones about it, flat out reject Christ, oppose Christ, stand against everything that he does in the world. These are those who try to choke out our faith, to draw us away from faithfulness to God. And then the enemy is the devil, the one who plants them, but I honestly think we probably could have guessed that one ourselves, that it is the devil who caused sin to come into the world. It is the devil who tempts us and seeks to draw us away, lure us away from faithfulness to God. So then that begs the question, how does the farmer respond to this, at least as it is laid out, an attack on him and his field? Well, in verses 27 through 28a, that's the first half, we see his servants come to him asking for a response. The servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." Now, the first thing that stands out to me in all of this is this matter-of-fact tone with which the farmer answers his servant. His men were sleeping, it says in verse 25, while his men were sleeping, the enemy came. So his men were sleeping, but it doesn't say anything about him, the master, the farmer, being asleep. So he really was not caught unaware by what happened. Jesus already knows exactly what will happen to him, what will happen to his people, what will happen in the world. Jesus is not caught unaware by anything that happens. God's foreknowledge is absolute. Nothing is outside of his knowledge or awareness. He knows, and he already has a plan. When God created Adam and Eve, he already knew that they were going to be tempted by the devil, by the evil one, and that they were going to fall into sin. In his ministry, Jesus already knew that he was going to be betrayed, and by whom? One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. He knew already. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he foretold Simon Peter's denial, even as Peter denied the denial. And God's foreknowledge is for your good. Why did he create Adam and Eve knowing that they would sin? Because he knew that he would redeem them. Why does God send his son into this world knowing what is going to happen to him so that he can redeem us? We can get lost in this idea of predestination, being chosen for eternal life, but ultimately all that it means is that God chose you. God chose you before you were born. He knew before you had ever done anything good or bad to earn, deserve, before anything, God chose you. How do you know? Because you are baptized. Because he has placed his Holy Spirit in you, that is how you know. So then, what is the farmer to do under these circumstances? Well, we find his answer in the second half of 28 through verse 30. The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" Meaning the weeds. But the master said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." In other words, he's not going to pull up the weeds now, but why? Why? It doesn't make all that much sense to us for him to leave the weeds there to choke out the wheat, to draw in all of the moisture and the nutrients away from the wheat, because if he does it now, then the weeds won't be there to compete for sunlight nutrients with a good seed. If he does it now, then he saves himself a whole bunch of trouble, headache, and heartache down the road. But if he were to do that now, what if he pulls up some of the good plants too? You see, the farmer is so concerned by allowing all of the good seeds to have the best opportunity to flourish that he would rather allow the weeds to stay than risk losing any of the good. So then, what is this parable saying? The answer comes in verses 39 through 43. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So the harvest is the end of the age, the last day, judgment day, when God will judge all living and dead. The reapers are the angels, and Jesus has elsewhere described the angels going about to bring in the harvest. The evil, the sinners and lawbreakers, all of that will be gathered together and burned in the fiery furnace. Now, that can cause some consternation. Why did God create hell for sinners? Well, according to Matthew 25, the furnace was not prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for sinful humans. That sinful humans go there is an unfortunate consequence of their actions. But at the same time, make no mistake, the weeds, the sons of the devil, all of the evil and lawbreakers, all of it will be consigned to the fiery furnace. That is how serious sin is. However, just as the wicked and lawless will be punished with unquenchable fire, the righteous will shine with undimmable light. Now, that's what the parable is saying and what it means, but now we have to ask ourselves, okay, how does this apply to us today? As God's people, we are the good seed planted here among the wheat. God has planted us here, so then how should we live as his people? we continue to be what God has created us to be, the good seed bearing good fruit, as he has made us to be by faith in Jesus Christ, which we receive in baptism. We continue to follow our Lord's intent and design for people, which is to show his love to those around us. We do not allow ourselves to be pulled down and broken by the weeds among which we have been planted. According to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Remember, you have been planted here in this time and place among these weeds, and God has a reason for allowing that." God's intent is not for us to fall away from what he planted us to be, or for our faith to be choked out by all of the competing interests, the weeds around us. God's intent is for you to be what he planted you to be in the midst of a field of weeds. God's intent is for you to bear fruit. But at the same time, I do also see us in the place of the sower's servants, those who come to him and question how they are to respond to all of these weeds in the field. How often are we tempted to give up, to start over, to consign all of these people to their fate and try again? But that is not what God intends. Rather than abandon this field or run away and hide from these weeds among which God has planted us, God's intent is for us to remain where he has put us, to continue sowing and feeding his gospel message, trusting in his plan for us and for those with whom we interact, all of whom have that same, all of whom can also hear and receive that message. Should we stop serving in God's field because of the weeds that have been planted? No, absolutely not. Oftentimes, we can't tell the difference between a weed and a late blooming wheat. Sometimes, just when we are ready to give up on someone as being the most recalcitrant, unbelieving person out there, they might surprise us. Bro, look at Paul. He was a persecutor of the faith who handed over believers to be condemned and thrown in prison, but the Lord worked on him until he came to believe. So do not give up just because you don't see the fruits. As a farmer or as a gardener, should we become discouraged when we see weeds? I know that I do. I prefer to see the pretty flowers or the grass over dandelions and thistles and moss. But sometimes when I see just how many weeds there are, I'm tempted to give up, to stop trying, to pretend the weeds aren't there, or else to just douse the entire thing in herbicide or kerosene and start over. But that's not what God does with us. He doesn't ignore the problem, he doesn't start over, and that is a good thing for us. After all, when you get down to it, how different are we from that weedy, wheaty field? How different are we from the weeds and wheat all planted in together? Are we the wheat bearing the fruits with which God desires by living according to his will and serving and showing love to those around us? Or are we the weeds choking out God's good planting? Well, we are both. God's word has been planted in us, and it springs up to bear the good fruits in keeping with repentance and mercy. But at the same time, we also are so spoiled with sin that we can't see the difference between what is good and evil, even within ourselves. We desire to bear the good fruit, but the bad is right there at the same time.